What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to the NBA Outlet. I'm your host, Nick Faye. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. And first-time guest on the show, Kyle Russell, co-host of Heater's Gonna Heat. Guys, how we doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Nick?
Kyle, pleasure. I know I've had you on Full Access Hoops a couple times. It's good to have you on the NBA Outlet now to talk Miami Heat.
Like Corey said.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Kyle.
No, I'm just saying I'm always down to talk some Heat basketball.
Like Corey mentioned, we're continuing our NBA Outlet preview series, diving into the Miami Heat today. As always, quick reminder, you can check out previous previews on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. Also head to DesignTree/OffTheGlass, grab yourself some OTG merch. But before we talk about the Heat of next season, we're going to look back at last year. Miami was 39-43, 10th in the Eastern Conference. Not a great season, but we did have D-Wade's farewell tour. How would you summarize last season in one emoji, Kyle?
I had to double check to make sure that this was an emoji, and I'm glad it was, but roller coaster. Absolutely. It definitely was a season of highs and lows. I mean, you can go back to like the December area when Winslow took over and we started getting point justice, and that was a lot of fun. Then you go into like January where Spo was tweaking lineups a lot and we had some really bad losses, especially like to the Atlanta Hawks. Then in February and March, when it looked like maybe we were going to finally make the playoffs, and then end of March, some bad injuries, some bad losses, and we ended up slipping out of the picture. The one thing that did make it worthwhile and always good to check in on was Dwayne Wade, though. But yeah, the roller coaster sums it up.
For me, I went with the crying face emoji. it was Dwayne Wade's last year, the end of an era. There were some nice moments, of course, Dwayne Wade with some buzzer beaters. The one against the Warriors sticks out. Most of all, the final game in Brooklyn with the triple-double. So for me, it was just the saying goodbye to Dwayne Wade and watching him for the last time in the Miami Heat uniform.
Yeah, I'm on the same line as Corey here. I went with the wave, you know, just like a hand wave and just kind of the farewell to D-Wade. You know, obviously that was kind of the focus of last season. You know, they didn't make the playoffs. Things didn't go great, but there were some really good moments for him. But what would be the biggest positive takeaway of last season for the Heat?
So going into the biggest positives, probably the biggest were the starting to get the emergence of Bam Adebayo and Justice Winslow. So the beginning of the season, Bam Adebayo starts off on the bench as well as Winslow. Winslow didn't even have a defined role. But as the season progressed, Winslow eventually took the starting point guard role when Goran Dragic got injured. And for a little bit in January, it was actually starting to get a little bit of most improved player hype. That died out a little bit as the season went on. But he really showed that he can take over that point guard responsibility. And then with Bam Adebayo, around March, we had an injury to Whiteside that put Bam Adebayo into the starting role. And he continued to keep a hold of that role for the rest of the season. So watching those two young players start to step forward was probably, for me, the biggest positive of the season.
Yeah, my positive goes in the same direction. It's between Bam and Justice Winslow. Both of these guys had not phenomenal years. They had very good years of progression. And Bam, I think, obviously, hindsight 2020 and seeing Hassan Whiteside get moved. Whiteside also got moved because they could trust Bam in the future. They could trust Bam being their center going forward. And then, as you mentioned with Justice Winslow, point Winslow, it's a real thing. He can facilitate. The jump shot has gotten better, which was a real issue for him early on. And, you know, both of these young guys taking those strides, it's a very good look.
Yeah, and I'm going to just go with Winslow here. I was always pretty confident in Bam, just from what I've seen with him and the flashes that he was going to pop it, which is kind of developing that. But I think there was some real question with Winslow. Was he going to be a good NBA player? You know, the bust thing was kind of coming up. He was dealing with a lot of injuries. But to see him really bounce back last year and take another step in his game and become point Winslow really set the Heat up well and gave them another foundational piece to kind of move forward with that they probably didn't think they had going to the season. But what would be the biggest negative takeaway of last year?
So, and this will probably bring this up a little bit later on as well, but the biggest negative takeaway and the one you can really just look at, the most obvious one, was just our need for an all-star level, all-NBA level player. You can see it, like Wade would be able to take over for flashes a little bit, like I said, it was his retirement tour. He had one foot out the door, and we knew he wasn't going to be there after this season. So at the end of the season, when you know all the confetti was done and all the good feelings were over with, we really looked back and went, we need somebody to build the team around in the future. And fortunately, we got that answered in the summer.
One of the biggest negative takeaways I would say would be this was the worst shooting free throw team in the league. They shot a league worst 69%. So not great when you're not finishing at the line. but also a negative would just be injuries. You know, Goran Dragic didn't play much, only 36 games. Deion Waiters missed a lot of time. I know James Johnson was in and out. Having some key veterans missing time didn't help the Miami Heat playoff push.
Yeah, I just went with the negative takeaway being not making the playoffs. It looked like they were in prime position, but, you know, Kyle mentioned it earlier, their final stretch to end the season, I think they lost, you know, 5 out of 6 games or something like that, including like a loss against the Timberwolves, who weren't even kind of competing for the postseason. So I just felt like not getting in kind of signaled, which Kyle mentioned, that they needed someone to close games and kind of get those wins, which they weren't able to get last year. But moving on to next year, talking about the power ranking via our staff, they're coming at number 15. Do you guys think this is fair, too high, too low?
I honestly think that's fair. I mean, thinking about it, you think, all right, so 15's, that's still a playoff team, maybe on a little bit of the lower end. And considering that what we've done for the last few years, that's fair. I am optimistic, though, that as the season goes on, that we can climb those rankings and probably finish in top 10.
I think 15 is fair. This puts them at the lower part of the Eastern Conference, because I know our top 15 in the power rankings is Western Conference heavy. So I think it's fair. I mean, they could move up a couple spots, because I think we're also kind of curious on what this team looks like going forward, some of their new pieces.
Yeah, and the steps that maybe these young guys are going to take and get better. But I think 15 at this point in the year is fair. I could see them going a couple spots up, a couple spots down. I think they're right in that spot in the Eastern Conference where, like, they're a playoff team. We just don't think they're going to be competing for home court type of playoff team. Now, getting on to the offseason, obviously very exciting. Starting with the draft picks, Tyler Hero.
So, going into the draft, a lot of people were surprised we ended up getting Tyler Hero. They did like that pick, as well as Kaze Akpala. As far as what they could do for us for the season, I think Hero could be like a really good rotation player off the bench. He looked good in summer league. He's looked good in training camp. He's looked good in preseason, too. I'm still hesitant to put him into the starting lineup, like I've seen a lot on Heat Twitter start calling for. But I definitely think give him some solid rotation minutes and then see how he handles that throughout the year. And if it continues to look good like it's been so far, keep upping it. As for Kaze Akpala, everything that I've heard too points to him spending some time in the G League with the Skyforce. So I hope to see him dominate there and get those playoff reps. And then maybe in like a year or two, we can bring him up into the Heat.
Tyler Hero is the guy that I know the most about. I was kind of hoping he was going to fall to the Indiana Pacers because this guy could just get buckets. He's a lethal three-point shooter. We've seen some of that on display already in preseason, his ability to create his own shot. So this is definitely a rookie who I think is going to get a good amount of playing time and a decent role this rookie season. And it'll be a guy to watch because I think Hero could be a big part of this core going forward because they really need three-point shooting. This was a team that finished, I think, in the bottom 10 for three-point shooting percentage. So adding someone who like Tyler Hero should only help.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of people have been saying his skills translate well over to the NBA. So he should maybe even be a little bit better than what we've seen in college further down the line. Obviously, I think you keep him off the bench, let him work against second units and see what he can do and kind of see how it progresses. But talking free agency and trades, obviously, the Heat made a big move. They brought in Jimmy Butler and they also brought in Myers Leonard. How excited were you about Jimmy Butler, Kyle?
Extremely, because it goes back to the big negative that I was talking about, that we really needed an all-star, all-NBA level player to build around, and Butler exactly is that. But most important, along with that, I was also just impressed with the trade in general. It was a four-team trade, a lot of moving parts, but it really knocked out so many good things for the Heat. It shipped out Whiteside, who could have been a locker room issue, especially if he clashed with Jimmy. We had to give up Jay Rich, which was unfortunate, but a necessary sacrifice. And we only had to give up one protected first-round pick. In return, we got Butler, who is most definitely a star that we can build around, as well as Myers Leonard, who's more of a stretch backup center that we can put behind Bam. So it was just a masterful move by Riley overall. It checked off so many boxes for us. And I really do think like it's going to make us a better fitted roster for next season.
I mean, Jimmy buckets. Today is the one. Well, while we're recording this pod, this is the 1 year anniversary of Jimmy grabbing the practice squad from the Timberwolves and whooping some ass. so this is a good day to be talking about Jimmy Butler in general. You know, Jimmy Butler's a competitor. I think he actually fits in with the Heat culture of no nonsense. We're going to put in the most work. I've seen some videos of their practicing and there's him on defense being overly vocal. I mean, Jimmy Butler, for the downside that he's just overly competitive, this is a guy who, personally, like, I would want to play with Jimmy Butler, a guy who cares as much as he cares. Do I think he can be the best player on a championship-level team? No. But I think this is the piece in the right direction for a Miami Heat team that's been kind of stuck in purgatory. So now you have Jimmy Butler. Yes, you lost Josh Richardson. I always want to say Jason. Josh Richardson, though, who obviously was blossoming and becoming a better player, but not Jimmy Butler by any means. And you got rid of Whiteside, which is a fantastic part of this deal. But it's Jimmy Butler, you know, a guy who plays defense, a guy who's been, you know, he's a subpar three-point shooter, a guy who can create his own shot. It's a good piece going forward because we know, at least I know deep down or feel deep down, that Miami Heat will be active in the trade deadline to add more talent next to Jimmy Butler. But this was the starting piece to changing what they had been going through.
Yeah, and like Kyle mentioned, a lot of creativity for the Heat to make this happen, especially when it looked like the trade kind of fell through at one point where it was kind of harder to get some of the money off. They had to keep working to kind of find those avenues to complete it. But Butler's going to give them what they need, a closer. And like you mentioned, Corey, not a number one on a championship team, maybe not a number two, but still a very good player that they can add to this team that can possibly help them maybe bring another player at the deadline. Or I know Kyle and Jorge have talked about in Heaters Gonna Heat about possibly attracting another free agent down the line. Any thoughts on Myers-Leonard, Kyle?
I like what I've seen from him so far. He's a good stretch player. It's really going to be the biggest question for him is going to be how well he receives the coaching for defense. Because when you work for Spoelstra and Riley, it's always defense first. And so his minutes, I think, will very much depend upon how well he plays defense. And I think some of his issues can be coachable. So if he responds to that well and he learns how to be a better defender, I mean, a lot of players have been better defenders under Spoelstra, but that's going to be the biggest key for him to get more minutes. As far as the offensive end of the floor and rebounding, I like everything I've seen so far.
I'll just touch on Myles Leonard. You know, I don't think he's going to have a huge role. I mean, granted, this is a guy who hasn't played more than 20 minutes in an NBA or 20 minutes per game in the NBA season since 4 years ago. He's a little bit slower, but the one thing you do like about Myers Leonard is there is offensive pop coming off the bench, a guy who can shoot the three ball. I mean, we saw it in the playoffs. And a decent rebounder. It's just kind of how does Spoelstra use him? And like you mentioned, Kyle, does he become just an average defender? Can he not get abused in pick and roll situations or isolation switches with the Miami Heat?
Yeah, and he's kind of a guy that always makes you feel like, oh, why isn't he a lot better? He'll show flashes in these games, and you're like, why isn't Myers Leonard like better consistently? But then it's just like the inconsistency and the defense is just not there. But talking to departures, obviously we mentioned D-Wade retired, Hassan Whiteside out, Josh Richardson out. Not really much to say here because if you could pick one guy to keep, you know, obviously Wade retired, so you can't keep him. It would be Richardson over Whiteside easy, right?
Absolutely.
I would make Dwayne Wade come out of retirement.
Yeah, just that actually would be the ideal.
I know that he even, like, squashed that rumor because I know, like, there was rumblings that, like, maybe he'll come back to play with his best – with one of his good friends in Jimmy Butler. Wade was like, no, guys, like, I'm good. I got a kid and I got – you know, I'm good now. Like, I've been drinking wine. Like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I feel like the first 5 days of retirement, he was, like, posting videos of drinking wine, like, playing golf. Like,
yeah. He was chucking out the bottle on a golf course. Like, all right.
Yeah. Wade is living. Yeah, he's in the golf cart. That was hilarious.
I think these guys just want to, you know, enjoy their life, and obviously he probably has other things he wants to explore. But moving, talking about the team, what's the biggest team X factor for next season? Non-player and can't be health.
I really do wish I could say health. it's kind of vague as well, but our biggest X factor is going to be our offense. We know the defense is going to be well because, yeah, we shipped out Whiteside and Jay Rich. No, they were good defenders. But we still brought in Butler. If Leonard takes a step forward, or if not, then we just give more minutes to Bam. We're going to be a defensively sound team. Our ceiling is going to depend upon the offense because there's still some shooting concerns with whether Winslow can repeat what he did last season. There's, as you brought up, Butler's not the most elite shooter. So it's going to be how well can we mitigate the shooting concerns, and just in general, can we not get bogged down? Because there were so many times last year where the offense would just get bogged down and we'd give up big runs because of that.
My X factor, obviously, I want to just piggyback. The offense is big for this team, obviously being in the bottom 10 for three-point percentage and being dead last in free throws. You need to be a better offensive team. I think they have a lot of good defensive weapons on this team. It's going to be, can that offense get together? And also, this is like a cherry-picking answer, but chemistry. And this team building a unit, obviously, we know that Jimmy Butler on your team can be turbulent, and it can go south really fast if he doesn't feel like he's getting enough from his teammates or from his guys. So does having a personality like Jimmy Butler become an issue? Because obviously it has the last couple of destinations. And even there's been, I don't want to say like straight call-outs, but even some guys from Philly have mentioned or alluded to Jimmy Butler kind of being a tough teammate. So how does Jimmy Butler fit in with that locker room? And how do some of these new pieces gel? Obviously, Whiteside gone, Wade gone, Josh Richardson gone. Certain guys are going to have a bigger role, more opportunity, minutes going elsewhere. How does this team come together?
Pretty much the same thing that you said, Corey. I think I'm looking at the chemistry of the team, how Butler fits, how everyone kind of gets together in these new roles. And then also just how do these younger guys develop? Do they take another step forward and become closer to maybe a fringe all-star or something that the Heat really can build on? So I think X-Factor-wise, that's what I got. But starting lineup, who's it going to be on opening night?
So my starting lineup, fingers crossed, I got Winslow at the point, Waiters at shooting guard, Butler small forward. Once he's healthy, Olynyk, but for now, since he's on injury, Myers-Leonard, and then Bam Adebayo at center. And as for why, like, I look at this as you got Winslow and Waiters and Butler, you got three ball handlers, Olynyk and Bam can keep the ball moving, so you can have a really ball movement heavy offense that can kind of keep the ball going and find those better shots. And as well as having multiple ball handlers will let Butler kind of take a bit of a he can take maybe more of like a second or third seat and try to conserve energy, because really when we're going to need him the most is in those fourth quarters. It's got good a mix of shooting with Winslow, Waiters, Olynyk. It's got some decent rebounding. The defense will be rock solid. And I really do think that that's just our best starting lineup that we can throw out.
So I went with a similar lineup, but I went with Winslow, Waiters, Jimmy Butler, and I have James Johnson at the four and then Bam at the five.
Yeah, I went with the same lineup as Kyle. Kyle, what's the timetable for Kelly Olynyk?
From my understanding, it'll be a few weeks into the season. Look up, see if there's any more updates.
I think Kelly gets it once he comes back, but I feel like they might go small with James. I don't know if I just don't see Leonard getting. I mean, unless he like really shows that in preseason, I just would be shocked to see him start.
It'll be interesting though, because James Johnson was one of the guys they recently sent home because he didn't meet conditioning standards.
That's true. That's true.
That's not a great way to start your training camp, but he could bounce back easily.
They don't he'll start beating people up, right? He's got MMA skills.
Plus, Spoelstra, his tendency is to, whenever there's a starter injured, just kind of move. Rather than try to, like, move people up in the rotation, he more of just takes somebody out of their spot and puts them in that starter role, so then the rest of the rotation can kind of stay as is. So gotcha. Leonard can replicate some of what Olynyk brings in terms of the shooting and a little bit of the rebounding. Obviously, he can't necessarily do the playmaking, but that he looks to be the best bet to best replicate what Olynyk brings.
Now, who's the player to watch for in Miami next season? Who's the guy that you're keeping an eye on?
Oh, well, picking one player for this team, honestly, is, I think, kind of tricky. There's a lot of little things to just watch for multiple players. So, I mean, you got Bam Adebayo, Justice Winslow, who we mentioned, they took steps forward last year, so can they continue that? And then there's also a little bit of Tyler Hero as well. How does he handle being at the actual NBA level? But if I had to pick just one, I am all in on watching the Dion Waiters Redemption Tour. He's in the best shape of his life. He is looking to make an impact on the league. We all know he's going to let it fly, and I'm hoping that they go in more often than not.
All right, so I wish you didn't pick Dion Waiters, because that was my pick. So I'm just going to give a quick mention on Dion Waiters, because for the last 4 years of him actually playing, I've tried to make just Dion it like a thing. I
want it. You have.
I really want that to get some traction. Like, Fetch is going to happen for Mean Girls. Dion Waiters is fun to watch. He's in the best shape of his life. He looks like he has a chip on his shoulder. He looks pretty good so far in everything I've seen. So definitely Dion Waiters, who's, you know, a lot of people, like, I know that he was in a bad place when he got hurt because everyone was, like, picking on him for his weight and everything else. Like, I just like guys who get some sort of extra motivation coming into a season. So I'm looking forward to Waiters, of course. And then I would say, like, I'm somewhat interested in seeing Goran Dragic, only because I know that, you know, the injuries are an issue. And I know he's not even healthy now, I think. I think he's still banged up to a degree. I remember watching a press conference, him saying, like, you know, some days are better than others with his knee. But seeing what he has left in the tank and seeing if that becomes a trade asset, because if this team wants to make a move, I think any package Goran Dragic likely becomes a part of. But yeah, those are my two guys. And of course, Jimmy Butler.
It's a good point with Dragic too, especially at that contract. It could allow you to kind of make a bigger splash or something along those lines. And teams do need point guards. I went with Bam here. I'm really intrigued to see what he could do as, you know, the full-time starter and taking that next step. We know the flashes of his game. The defensive potential he has is crazy. You know, he can be a rim protector, but he also has the ability to switch out there and defend on the perimeter a little bit, kind of improve those skills. Offensively, we've seen the oops. We've seen a little bit of the jump shot, and he can kind of keep expanding in that area too. I think Bam has really a lot of potential in the Heat, and people probably don't talk about it enough. Now, worst-case scenario for the team next season.
Well, one of the biggest concerns with the team is going to be injuries. I mean, you can look up and down our roster and find lots of players that have had pretty bad injuries. Winslow, Waiters, Butler, now Olynyk, James Johnson. I mean, if the worst case scenario pretty much involves a ton of injuries and us missing the playoffs.
Worst case scenario would be this team missing the playoffs. It's as simple as that. You didn't make the playoffs last year. You added a big star in Jimmy Butler. I think Jimmy Butler is extremely unhappy too if you miss the playoffs, which is also a pretty bad part of a worst case scenario.
Yeah, I would say the same thing here. You know, they don't make the playoffs. Butler's upset. Maybe he tries to force another trade or something like that. And then some of the young guys are kind of stunted, and they don't necessarily have the draft assets to make a big move down the line or something like that. So they're just stuck in a weird place with this Jimmy Butler contract. But best case scenario.
Best case. This is what I like talking about. So best case, we don't get those injuries. But everybody starts to gel. Everybody fills in their roles. Butler becomes the closer. I think our best case scenario is that we walk into the playoffs with the 3 seed, and after a tough second round, we make the conference finals before bowing out there.
Best case scenario is the Miami Heat somehow get home court advantage, you know, up to maybe a 3 seed at best or a 4 seed. Jimmy Butler leads the way. They probably make a big time splash at the deadline. I'm not going to say it's Bradley Beal, but maybe it's Bradley Beal. Maybe it's Chris Paul. Maybe it's Kyle Lowry. Maybe it's just an elite level player to give Jimmy Butler some help. They end up making a really hot push already with some momentum, because I think if you trade for one of those guys, you're probably in a good position already. So that'd be best case scenario.
Yeah, best case scenario I would say is probably a 4 seed. And like you said, Corey, maybe making a splash. You know, a guy that comes to mind I could see the Heat making a move for some reason would be like Kevin Love, because you don't necessarily have to give up a lot of assets. You're just kind of looking to match salary in that extent because the Caps just want to get that money off. But what's your actual prediction for the season, and where do they finish in the division?
So, okay, within the division itself, this one, Southeast, I mean, look, we got the Charlotte Hornets, we got the Washington Wizards, we got the Atlanta Hawks. Throw those guys out immediately. But I do think the Magic can give the Heat a run for the money with their continuity and all that. But I do still think the Heat will win the division. As for the actual prediction, I'm going to say about 47, 48 wins and a 5th seed going into the playoffs.
So I have the Miami Heat finishing 2nd in the division. I'm not going to say who wins it yet.
I mean, obviously it's Orlando. Come on.
Yeah. It's Orlando. I'm a little bit on the Orlando hype train. But I have Miami finishing 2nd in the division, Miami finishing with 44 wins, being a first round exit and getting one of those either 7th or 8th seeds.
Yeah, I have them at 45 wins. The division is really tough. I think it'll be pretty close with them and the Magic. I think I'll go with them in first. I just think having Jimmy Butler, having a closer, and then a lot of things kind of went right for the Magic last year. Maybe they won't go as right this year, but they obviously have potential with Fultz and Bamba taking a step this season, but that's for another day. And probably around that 7th or 6th seed mark, maybe the 8th seed, but I think they will make the playoffs. Any other thoughts you guys want to touch on about the Heat before we move on the league pass?
Not good.
All right. Now, how would you rate the Heat 1 out of 10 in terms of league pass?
So the way that I see it is like a 1 is don't watch it, 10 is must watch. I'd give us like a 6. Like if you're a bit of more of an old school fan, you like watching lots of defense and some hard-nosed basketball, that'll be where we're kind of nice to watch. And also depending on the matchup, because, you know, I mean, watching those high-powered offense go up against us is going to be quite a bit of fun. But it's not a tune in every game kind of thing, admittedly.
I'm going to say 6. You know, I think there's intriguement with Jimmy Butler, the Dion Waiters FU tour. the Tyler Herro experience as him as a rookie, Bam and Justice Winslow getting full-time roles. So I think there's intriguement, but I don't necessarily think their style of play is going to be overly fun. But I give it a 6 because they got some nice storylines.
Yeah, I'll go with a 6 as well. Maybe a 5, but I think a 6 at least starting the season because obviously they have Butler now. And we mentioned the young pieces all episode long and how they can really pop off. But now in terms of TV show comparison, how would you compare the Heat to a TV show, Kyle? This could be based off of watchability or plot.
So I hope I don't get a lot of flack for this, but I kind of compared them to Scrubs.
Ooh, classic.
Yeah. So my idea there is that it's popular, but it's a little bit of like a cult classic. Like it's not everybody's seen Scrubs, but like those that have watched Scrubs know it's a really well-written / well-coached team. It's just fun to watch. They have a lot of high points. I mean, if you look at our history with just the championships and some of the history that we've done, and you can't really go wrong watching Scrubs, just like with the Heat.
So I went with Mad Men. One of my favorite shows, but I went with the comparison of like Don Draper is a very tough guy to get along with, and his only care in the world is basically winning and making money, which to a lesser extent is what Jimmy Butler is all about, which is about winning, not necessarily like. And one of the scenes in Mad Men, one of his associates says, "You never said thank you," and the guy goes, "Well, that's what the money is for." And like Jimmy Butler would be like, that's any of his teammates. Like, you didn't give me a thank you. Well, that's the win. We won. That's your thank you. Like, way to go. You helped us win. So that's my comparison, Mad Men and Miami Heat.
Nice.
Good one. I went with just based off of watchability. I just went with South Park here. Kind of like what Kyle mentioned. You don't need to watch every episode, but there's some episodes you have to watch because they're just so funny. And you'll probably tune in if you start it. Same thing with the Heat. But anything else, guys, you want to touch on before we get out of here?
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Miami Heat basketball is on the up and up.
All right.
So I guess I would ask this real quick of y'all. What do you think is the chance that we make an in-season trade versus keeping the roster all the way through?
In terms 65%. Of what type? Okay, I was going to say in terms of what type of trade. Are we talking a big trade or just a minor trade? Because I think every team is to some extent likely to make some type of small trade. If we're talking a big trade, I'd probably say like 40%.
Yeah, I was thinking big trades.
Yeah, I think 40%. What are you thinking, Kyle?
I think it'll be lower. I don't think we have any necessarily any big rush to make. Because look at that, like the Chris Paul trade, I don't think that really works for us long term. I don't think the Wizards are going to be ready to part with Beal until next summer. I just don't see any good big trade targets that make sense right now. So for me, I'm pretty low, like 10%.
And I'll just ask you this question. We kind of tackled it on the Pacers pod as well. How would you rank the top 5 players on the Heat?
In terms of like how they are as a player?
No, like the top 5 best players in the Heat. How would you rank them 1 through 5?
Ooh, okay. All right. So obviously got to put Butler up at the first. Second's kind of rough. I would say Butler, Waiters, Bam, Winslow, then Hero. I'm starting to get really high on Hero.
Yeah, I probably would go with Jimmy Butler first. I would go with Justice Winslow second. I would go with Deion Waiters third. Bam Adebayo 4. And then 5, like I would still give Goran Dragic the nod, but it probably is Tyler Herro.
Yeah, I'm similar to you guys. I think we just, that middle is kind of swapped up. Jimmy Butler first. I would go with probably Bam second, Winslow third, Waiters fourth, because I still think even when he is healthy, he's inconsistent. Obviously, expectations are high this year. And I still think Dragic is fifth because there's just things he could do on a basketball court that are still really impressive. But, fellas, that wraps it up. As always, big pleasure. Appreciate you hopping on, Kyle and Corey. Always a pleasure. Give yourself a shout-out, fellas.
Thank you very much. So you can find me on Twitter at KBR Heat Nation, and you can find everything I'm reading at OTG Basketball and Last Word on Pro Basketball.
You can check me out on Twitter and Instagram at KWAL Hoops, KWAL Hoops, and also check out the Full Access Hoops podcast, which is another pod part of the OTG Basketball Podcast Network.
Exactly. Make sure to check that. Obviously, head to otgbasketball.com. A lot of great content. Follow Off the Glass on Twitter at otgbasketball. And like I mentioned earlier, check out some previous shows on iTunes, Buck Talk Radio, Dash Radio, YouTube, and OTG.
Peace out, knuckleheads.